Deuteronomy 13. I have pecked at this little thought about the person on the pew, how not just the preacher should be what he should be, but the person on the pew, which means, you ready to hear it again? That means you. Talking to you tonight, not just the person beside you or across the aisle. I'm talking to you. God expects certain things from everybody. And if the preacher should, sure, so should the person. If the pulpit should, so should the pew. God expects us to have a supernatural conversion. He wants everybody to be saved. A sweet communion, a close walk with God. That's not just for the preacher, that's for everybody. And then a steadfast commitment. Last time, he wants us to walk with him and do right. I want to look at this song. God expects us all to have a spiritual company. Now, that may sound a little bit strange, but that shouldn't shock you. You've heard that before. But look in verse 6. I'm talking this evening about the people we are and the people we hang around, the people we influence and the people who influence us. Notice what it says. God says to you, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go out and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. I won't even go further. The next verse gets worse. But thou shalt surely kill him. We'll leave that out. We'll save that for a Wednesday night. The thought is, if somebody seduce, it talks about the word entice. That is not grabbing you by the collar and forcing you to do something you don't want to do. That is this thought. Well, come here. Come here. I tell you what let's do. Let's go have some fun. It has the idea of influence. Not being forced, but being drawn. Like the Pied Piper that plays the music, and those little varmints just gladly go along and follow him. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. He says, make sure you don't let anyone, notice who he says, your brother, your son, your daughter, your wife, and your best friend, he said, no matter who it is. My point is this, we should have, God expects us to have a, I've called it, spiritual company. The people we hang around. God expects us to associate with people who are godly. Now, surely, I hope we have some friends and some acquaintances that we connect and contact and converse with that are lost. That's how we witness, at least one way. But I'm talking tonight about primarily those people we hang around that we are closest to. I want to mention first, people and your involvement. We are involved with people. I ask you a question. Who do you hang around? Who do you associate with? It does matter what kind of friends we have because people will influence us. Did you hear the warning of these verses? Be careful that they don't entice you because they will if you let them influence you. Again, there's a power over us, but it's an influence. It's a drawing. I've said this before. The first time I ever tried pot was because somebody said, let's go, let's try it. And the first time it came around the table, I said no. The second time I let the influence get me. And I'll tell you what, I jumped off a cliff. Took a long time for the Lord to pull me out. That thing of influence, it doesn't matter who we hang around because we will become what they are. You can take this handkerchief and lay it right here, and contrary to some people's opinion, it'll get cold. Some of you think it's going to be cold because it's in this room. Some of you think it'll be hot because it's in this room. But I tell you one thing, it will become the exact temperature this room is. You can take it out there and put it on the parking lot. Sooner or later, the atmosphere will influence it to where it becomes exactly the same temperature as it is out there. Take it to Alaska, take it to the freezer, take it to the sauna, it doesn't matter. Sooner or later, the influence of where it's at and all its environment will influence it to become what it is around. And that's how it is with us. You can't help it, neither can I. We hang around people that are going to influence us. We're involved with people as we should be. But no matter what they're like, we will become like them if we aren't careful. If they are good and godly, it'll influence us. I have people that I know of that have just popped in my mind. I tell you what, I enjoy talking to them because it's always talking about the Lord and always uplifting and always about godly and good things. But I have also, and I don't have anybody in mind, thank you, Lord, for that. There's people that, the contrary, I tell you what, they're so critical and hard and harsh and never see anything good, and there's always the fleshly and always the all-color jokes, and I tell you what, no matter who, no matter where, they'll influence you. That I'm talking about people and your involvement. Who are you involved with? Do the people that you're involved with lead you toward good and godly and spiritual? Do they make you happy and positive, or do they drag you down with them? I mentioned first people and your involvement, but then secondly, people and your influence. They influence you, but you influence them. This is a two-way street. We can't just point our finger at them and say it's their fault. Well, it may be, but we influence others. We influence people by the way we act and the way we talk. And the Bible is very clear time after time after time after time after time. It talks about us being an example. An example, someone that somebody can look at and say, I want to be like them. Can listen to and say, I want to talk like they talk. Can be around and someone can say, I sure would like to be like them. I have mentioned people in your involvement, who you're hanging around, you will become like, but I want to mention now people in your influence, those people who hang around you, you will influence and they will become like you. If they do, will that be a good thing? I said the other day, I'm a shoemaker and I act too much like my daddy. I don't like that. I don't. The things that bothered me so much as I was coming up about my daddy, I see in my life when I say, will you quit acting like a shoemaker? But that part of me is in there. We need to be careful who we hang around and who we let hang around us. Be careful what you say and how you say it. Some can say right things, but in the wrong attitude, and I have heard preachers, and I am guilty. We get all stirred up about a subject, and we preach or we talk with someone, and our attitude gets overwhelmed, and sometimes it comes across as being mean or mad. And sometimes we don't mean to, and I guess sometimes we do mean to. But I'll tell you one thing, if we say it in love, people are more apt to accept it. And that's how it is with us and our individual relationships between us and others. Be careful what you say and how you say it and what you do and how you do it and how you act. Be careful. Somebody is watching us. I'm reminded of our brother Moses. He saw his brother, the Jewish man, being mistreated. And the Bible says he looked around and he saw nobody. And he slew the Egyptian, but somebody was watching. Moses looked and he didn't see anybody watching, but somebody was. And I promise you, I want to tell you one thing. We ever say something wrong or do something wrong or act some way, I guarantee you the devil will have somebody there to see it and to hear it. The devil's such a scoundrel. His timing's so good. So we need to be careful, not only who we hang around, but the people we hang around, who they're hanging around. That points to me and to you. People in our involvement, people in our influence. But here's my message. People in our instruction. What does the Bible say about how I'm to be, what kind of person I'm to be? And you, by the way, you remember who I'm preaching to? I'm preaching to you. There's very definite instruction in the Word of God about how we are to function among each other and how we're to be as people among people. Could I just take my double barrel and go boom tonight with both barrels at the same time and just blow out a whole bunch of points? Oh, listen, don't let people interfere with your fellowship with God. I think if I could say anything, that's a predominant thought of my mind. People, I've already said it, influence us so dramatically if we let them. And if we aren't careful, some will, you know what, even godly people can influence us in a negative way, a critical way, a non-positive way. So you can go away from some people who love the Lord being down. So I say this, don't let people interfere with your fellowship with God. 1 Kings 11:3, boy, I'll tell you what, the smartest man who ever lived, most wise man other than Jesus, his wives turned away his heart from his God. People interfered with Solomon's walk with the Lord. I'll tell you one thing, if it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to me and to you. So make sure that no one, isn't that what the verse says in Deuteronomy? If it's your son or your daughter or your wife or your husband or your friend, don't let it happen. If they say, come on, say no, I can't. Don't let people interfere with your fellowship with your God. Peter said to mankind who was trying to say, you can't do that. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The law of the land, according to them, was saying, you preachers, shut your mouth. You don't have a right. You Christians, stop that. And Peter said, who are we going to obey, God or man? And there's times we have to decide who we're going to obey. 2 John 10 said, if there are any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't just not let them in. Don't say, well, now God bless you while they're walking down off your porch. And the difference is, the discernment is, the factor that matters is, are they telling the truth? Are they saying what God said? If they aren't saying what God said, say, go on down the road and pray for them. That's not saying we should never witness to them, by the way. But that's a different message. My next little thought. I'm talking about people in your instruction. Your instruction. Pick your friends wisely. And I hope we are friends with everybody. But you know what I'm talking about by friends. People that you just like better than others. I mean, we just will admit that. That's true. And to be honest, that ain't wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus had the closer than others, and he wasn't being wrong in what he was doing. There's a reason for it. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man. Pick your friends wisely. An angry man will make you angry. A critical person will make you critical. Bitter person will rub off on you. So be careful who you hang around. Pick your friends wisely. The Bible says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Romans 16:17 says, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. There's some people we're to avoid. I don't think that means we're to snub them or be mean to them. One thing I try to influence around here and say, and I'll have to say it again before long, be nice to people who come here. Be friendly. We need to be careful about who we choose to be our friends. Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Well, I like that. You were walking with God. You were doing good. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Somebody hindered. They got too close to somebody. They let somebody into their lives, and it hindered them in their walk with God. That's why it's so important that we're careful about who we hang around. I want to say this. I'll go ahead and say it. Are they closer to God than you are? I believe that's a good friend. But it may be that God wants you to be a help to somebody else, and maybe you're a little closer to God. But I do know this. Pick your friends wisely. Make sure they walk with the Lord and love Him, and that they're an influence to you to godliness, and that you go away thinking, boy, I want to be closer to God. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We associate that with marriage, and we ought to. And we associate that with business, and we ought to, but we also ought to associate it with friendship. I said it already, we ought to have lost friends. I think my neighbors next door to us, I'd call them friends, and I think they'd call me friends, and we're very sociable, and I think we get along well, but they're lost, and I don't buddy around with them. And because their influence on me. So pick your friends wisely. Another little thought. How you treat others affects how they treat you. Could I say it again? How you treat others affects how they treat you. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Nobody likes a grouch. Even a grouch doesn't like a grouch. And the first question I ought to ask if somebody's mistreating me is this. How have I been treating them? How have I been acting to them? How do you treat people? Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you want a friend, try being a friend. If you want somebody to smile to you, try smiling first. If you want to try somebody treating you right, treat them right first. How do you treat others? It affects how they treat you. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. I'd like to etch that little verse out there. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, a little flavor, a little niceness, a little compassion. Even if it's something hard to say, say it nice. In a way that will be receptive. I was talking to somebody the other day about teaching and about communicating. And I said this, we need to communicate as the Lord leads us. And then we talked later, and I thought later, man, it's also important that we communicate in a way that they're going to get it. Because I can say a whole lot of stuff. If you don't get it, I'm wasting my time and yours. And that's what I'm saying now. Speak in a way to where people will be receptive. Let your speech be always with grace. This will be a little mean, but that ain't ever stopped before, so I'll say it anyway. Stop expecting others to make you happy. Stop expecting others to bless you first. Try being a blessing yourself first. I stopped by Hardy's the other day, and all them people I've given tracts to, so I look and see who it is. There was a lady, boy, I can tell. See, I'm there on Sunday morning about 6:15. Excuse me, but ain't nobody working at Hardy's going to be in a good mood at 6:15 on Sunday morning. One little Oriental man I like when he's working. But here's this girl. Well, when I heard her voice, "Welcome to Hardy, good to help you." And I thought, oh my, I know who that is. And I drove around, sure enough, this girl was grumpy and mean, and she didn't care. She didn't want me there. And I just kept being cheerful. And I thought at first, she probably ain't going to like this. She don't want to be cheered up. She's grumpy, and she wants to be grumpy. But before I left, she was actually smiling. But I thought about this, how we treat others. Treat them right first. They may be having a bad day. Now, they may be like that girl. I just think she's grumpy, pure and simple. She's looking for an excuse to be grumpy. But no matter what the reason, treat them right. Be the blessing first. Another thing, you have a responsibility to others. God dropped us into a crowd, and we're responsible for the crowd we're in the middle of. The Bible's full of it. I'm going to throw out some verses. Get a hold of them. Husbands, love your wives. That's your relationship to her. Whoa, listen, wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Listen. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Listen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, 1 Peter 2:18, servants, employees, be subject to your masters with all fear. Titus talks about the older teaching the younger. Galatians 6:1 talks about those that are spiritual, restoring those who are weak and fallen. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Jesus said, love your enemies. Are you getting this? Husbands, wives, children, fathers, servants, employees. Everybody's got a responsibility to somebody. Be what you're supposed to be. Realize you have a responsibility even to your enemies. Jesus said we're to love them, to bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. We are to strive. Did you get that? Strive. Do you hear the labor, the intensity, the difficulty of that word? We are to strive to keep the unity. I said that, stretched that out. I underlined that word to let you know it ain't always easy to keep unity. You ever tried it? I mean, to get along with people. Have you ever tried it? That was a question. That implies a shaking of the head or an answer somehow. Have you ever tried it? Thank you. Did it work easily? No, not always. Now, some people are just easy to get along with. And some aren't. There's some days I'm not. I hate being grumpy. I do. But we're to strive to keep the unity. Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. You know what that's saying? It's saying a lot, but one thing it's saying is the Spirit is working to keep us together. The Holy Spirit's desire is that we get along. The Holy Spirit's desire is that we put aside our petty differences and that we get along. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. It says endeavoring. That word again is a word of effort. It means we determine with God's help, I'm going to do it. It won't come easy. If you think that, you'll get a Sunday morning grumpy person at Hardy's to show you it's not. Or a grumpy church member. Or a grumpy wife or husband. That's the first move on some of you. I touched on something there. We're to strive to keep the unity. I say it again. I've said it before. I've said everything I know 10 times. Probably 100. The devil wants to divide us. As a church, a family. you and your friends. If you can get a wedge in there, a wedge, that's one of his biggest tools. Because a divided church, divided family, divided friendship, the devil's getting his way. There are some problems that we need to try to get settled. There's some things you can forget and ignore. Some differences that we make so big could easily just say, well, what deal? What big deal? What difference does it matter? Forget it. And you know what the devil will do? He'll pump her up, make it look bigger than it is. Keep reminding you, keep reminding you, keep reminding you. And it's bigger every time he reminds you. Something you can just forget is not worth fighting about. It's not worth the division, not worth the trouble. But there are some things that need to be settled. Jesus said, if you come to church, I'll paraphrase what he said, and you're bringing your offering and you realize there's something between you and a brother, leave your offering before you try and worship or give anything to God and go get it settled with your brother. If it's something so big that there's danger for division, that is disrupting the unity, that it's something between you and him that cannot just be forgotten and let go, he said, get it settled. And that's not easy to do. Number one, you need to get willing to. Number two, they need to be willing, and you need to be prepared if they're not willing. And that's another message. I got three messages to preach already. So try and get it settled if it's something that's too big to ignore. We need to always be aware of those that's around us. Remember Moses, he didn't know that person was there. Somebody's listening that we don't know. Somebody's watching we're not aware of. And our lives, our talk, our actions, our reactions make more of an influence on them than we realize. So be careful, because there's somebody hanging around you. And they need somebody who loves God. Somebody that will walk right. It may be your husband. They need somebody. I know he's grumpy. I know that. Almost every man I know, grumpy. You got my point, right? Almost. And they need somebody that loves them. It may be your wife. I don't know of any gripey wives or women at all. But they may need a husband that just understands, because they're carrying a load. It may be children that need some more patience than usual, or somebody understanding. It may be your friend. It may be somebody you don't even know. It may be a lost person who hears you, watches you. It may be somebody at work that's watching your life. Somebody in your neighborhood that's watching and listening. It may be some discouraged person that God just lets you bump elbows with. And to be honest, when they connect with you, it may be an inconvenient time. But they need a friend. They need somebody to help them. They need somebody to influence them to go the right way. It may be somebody that's just about ready to quit God. They're just about ready to throw in the towel, and God puts you in their lives just at the right moment. You know, you don't have any idea what you may be to somebody else. And your influence on them is more than you'll ever realize. So I said all that to say this. Our lives, our conversation, our attitude, our actions, our reactions are important. And our connection to God is so important. Our fellowship with Him is so important. But our fellowship with each other is vitally important. And God says an awful lot about it in this book called the Bible. Your ministry to people is vitally important. Don't let them get to you, but don't be somebody that's going to get to them. be the influence you ought to be, and find people that will influence you to the good and godly. Let's stand together. Hope you got something out of this shotgun message tonight.